talk about your TV like nobody else. Whenever they're talking shows, we are overwhelmed. The facts that King's Rob and Josh are back, seven hells on post show. Oh, oh, recaps, they're so dutiful. It makes it like there are 40,000 TV shows, and it's actually closer to 20,000 shows. And King's Rob and Josh are back here to tell you it shows. Uh oh. Are so freaking beautiful, and when shows are kind of dumb and dutiful.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. Rob and Josh are back to talk about TV with you here on Post Show Recaps and RHAP. I'm Josh. I am joined here by Rob. Rob, welcome back.
I am here, Father.
Father.
Yes, I'm just making this fan cam of Josh Wiggler, and let me upload it real quick.
Oh, my God. With no context, that sounds honestly great. I feel like there are not enough Josh Wiggler fan cams out there, personally speaking.
Well, there should be more, because you are Father, and I'm eating it up, and there's no crumbs.
I believe that I am actually dad is how I'm referred to, but we are the podcasters with our
your
feet always on your necks is how I was going to introduce ourselves. This sounds very, very strange to anybody who did not watch this past week's Saturday Night Live, hosted by The Last of Us star Pedro Pascal, which is one
everywhere.
Things that we are talking about here on the podcast today. Rob has also caught up on The Last of Us through episode 4, so we'll get some takes there and so much more here on The Rob and Josh Show, which you can subscribe to when you go and search by URL with our RSS link, postshowrecaps.com/Rob and Josh. And of course, just hit subscribe, some ratings and reviews, greatly appreciated as well. Rob, many adventures since last we spoke. Everything's good.
I've been to the north. I've been to the south. I've been all over. How are you doing?
You really did sort of travel by map, Game of Thrones season 7 and 8 style, I feel like, over the last couple of weeks. You were all over the place.
I'm all over. Yeah. So
yeah,
very happy to be back here with you, though.
Is it true that you went to Pandora?
I did. I did visit the Avatar world in the Animal Kingdom, and that was a place that I went to.
That was a place. You didn't like the Hallelujah Mountains?
If that's what they're called.
That's what they're called. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a thing. They really went all in on Avatar world.
Do they have people dressed up as the avatars? The
Honestly,
Na'vi?
If they did, I didn't see any. I saw a big blue woman playing a bongo at one point on a very slow moving boat ride at one point. But other than that, I mean, I can't believe they went all in on the Pandora.
Yeah, they did. I mean, the movie has taken off. I don't have the latest box office.
But they did this before that movie took off.
It's because they knew. They were this is a good bet. This is a good bet. In 2023, people are going to be all in on Avatar. Mm-hmm. It still feels like, even with all of the money. It's like, is everyone still talking about Avatar? Have we moved on to other things? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It does feel like The Last of Us is more the cultural conversation right now. That could be my
don't
want
to go to
The
Last of Us
stretches.
World, though.
No.
Pandora look like a walk in the park?
What would a cordyceps theme park look like?
A little bit like Pandora, to be honest. Like, that's not like a giant, like, rotting turnip. Like, what is this? Why are people want to take pictures next to this glowing rotten turnip?
A glowing piece of the rock. I don't know if I want to go to Last of Us World. I think I would sooner go to Avatar World. Avatar finally knocked down by M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, I think it's an 80 for Brady.
No, a knock at the cabin. A knock at the cabin took the throne at the box office.
Can you believe M. Night's still out there?
He's still doing the thing. Really endearing person in the interviews, I think. I've had the pleasure of speaking with him a couple of times.
Did you watch Old, Josh? I really wanted to watch Old.
I haven't yet. I haven't done Old yet. I would really like to do Old.
It's on streaming. Yeah,
I did see Knock at the Cabin. I did go and I checked it out.
Did you like it? Does the old guy still got it? And by that, I mean the guy who made Old. Yeah.
Who made Old.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think I did, but I appreciate that he's always going for something. He's always going for something.
Mm-hmm.
It's apparently based on a book, and somehow the book is like even more sinister than the movie.
So Not Get the Cabin, you say, no good.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because on The Last of Us right now, there's lots of knock-knock jokes, I feel like, happening in The Last of Us universe. So we are not talking about A Knock at the Cabin. That's been featured on Post Show Recaps Theater with Grace and Ariel. We've got a lot to talk about this time. First, up front, why don't we just tell people what we're going to do next week so that we can get ahead of that and everybody can get the information in their ears. We're going to do a mailbag episode of the Rob and Josh Show. We haven't done one of those yet. What are you all watching out there? What are you liking? What's happening in your TV and movie world? We'd like to know about that. You have TV and movie questions for Rob and myself or any podcast questions for the two of us? Hit us up.
Now, I don't claim to have any answers.
There's no guarantee of answers.
Yeah.
No guarantee of answers. A guarantee of fun and shenanigans, but no guarantee of answers.
Maybe we should just watch Old.
I mean, I would watch Old in case like we get no mail and we have to have something to talk about.
Yeah.
That's my solemn vow to you. I will have watched Old by the time we get back together for the podcast next week. We got a Google form. We've got a form you can fill out if you want to ask us questions. Go to postshowrecaps.com/AskRobAndJosh. That's postshowrecaps.com/AskRobAndJosh. It's a clunky one. Is there a shorter URL you think we should be going for? Should be postshowrecaps.com/old. Could also get you to the Google form, Rob.
No, I think we could just ask Rob and Josh. I think you got it.
All right. I wonder what postshowrecaps.com/old.
I'm sure we'll get a lot of questions from the Discord, right?
Yeah, we probably will. So make sure that you're sending your stuff in either via Discord. You can add us on Twitter as well, or you can send it in that Google form, postshowrecaps.com/askRob and Josh.
Do you have any questions for me regarding that I am in Groundhog Week?
I do.
I feel like that once upon a time, I feel like that you said, oh, count me in for Groundhog Week.
Did I say that? When did I say that?
I feel like you were very pro the idea of Groundhog Week, where I am watching the movie Groundhog Day every day, and not just podcasting about every day. Watching, I got to get off this and watch Groundhog Day again.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
Now, are you saying that? Like, is that like your public position that you're getting off the podcast and you're watching Groundhog Day? Or like, are you not actually going to watch Groundhog Day every single day?
No, I'll watch it every day.
Really?
I mean,
you will?
Is it going to be my first screen experience every single day? Or am I going to have it on while like the rest of my life is happening? I think I don't have a choice.
Sure. Yeah, I think the rest of your life is going to make some decisions for you. It's midweek into Rob and Akiva and Eric Stein watch Groundhog Day every single day. How's that going?
So far, so good.
You okay?
It's only day three.
Right?
It's only day three. Yeah.
Is it true that Akiva wanted to do this for a year?
He wanted to do it for a month. And I said, Akiva, I don't think that. And then once he knew I didn't want to do it for a month, then I think he was doing a bit of like, I'll do it for a year. I was like, we can't get you to do the weekly podcast. We can't get you to come on here once a week. You're going to do this every day.
Yeah.
But he wanted
a month of Groundhog Month might have actually been the series finale of Renap.
I just didn't think that the listeners want to come with us on that journey. I think that a week is fine.
A week is fine. Are you like picking up new things from the movie every single time you check
it out? I think you could watch, go back and watch it. Because I think that I have not been taking like copious notes. Like we didn't like, kill it the first time. So I think it's like, I wanted to talk about this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
plenty of diversions also.
Who's the Ned Ryerson? Is that the guy who is always like, it's me,
Steven
Ned
Tobolowsky,
Ryerson,
yeah,
Steve Tobolowowsky?
Yeah.
Do you ever listen to his podcast, The Tobolowsky
Files?
No,
I know
Files?
He's been podcasting for a very long time.
Yeah, decade plus at least. People getting their Ned Ryerson fill and not getting quite enough of their
Phil?
Ned Ryerson fill. He's got a podcast.
Josh Wiggler.
That's me
from Post Show Recaps. Remember me?
I do think if I got Groundhog Day'd in a situation where that was happening every single day, I would break at a certain point. I would break. I do think I would break. Do you have your worst day that you could imagine being Groundhog Day, Rob? The one that you would have to relive over and over again?
Like
a comical answer, ideally. I don't want to get too morning.
Too dark.
It's early. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably just like any day that I wake up with like a migraine headache and have to like still do a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Most days anymore.
Yeah.
The beach
I feel
that
like
makes you
worst
old.
Would be like some of like the worst hangovers I've ever had. I feel like that because that's, you know, you could wake up like in the movie, you know, okay, I could do it like whatever he wants in the town. Imagine waking up with like a killer hangover, like every single day, or a bad headache. It's like, no matter, like you could take the, like, I got to take some, you know, Advil before I go to bed tonight. Doesn't work. It's like,
no,
you didn't take it on February 1st.
Yeah, that would be bad. That'd be tough. All right. Well, good luck in your continued adventures through the Bill Murray classic Groundhog Day. Say hi to Andy McDowell for me and everybody else who is part of that cinematic experience.
Universe. Sure.
Bob Dylan, like everybody else. I just want to know, isn't he in it? Doesn't he have a song in it, or is it somebody else's that has the song in it? What's the song that plays every time he wakes up? Isn't it?
It's,
is it not a Bob Dylan?
I Got You, Babe.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe you're getting Vanilla Sky confused.
No, I
with...
just get Babe texted so often that I try to block it out of my out of my head at this point. All right, so today we are back together for the first time in a couple of weeks. We had the great Davey Rickenbacker on the podcast a couple of weeks ago to talk about, finally, to get Davey's takes, not just on The Last of Us, but also on The Walking Dead. Walking Dead super fan Davey Rickenbacker. He posted some of the video online too. It's pretty fun. If you want to check out what Davey's got going on. We missed the podcast last week. We were supposed to have a pretty exciting special guest, but it alas did not come.
Pedro Pascal.
Well, he was busy. He was busy. Mm-hmm. He had some other stuff to do, as Pedro Pascal was the host of Saturday Night Live this past week. I thought, Rob, you know what? Let's watch that, thinking that, like, I don't know that The Last of Us was really your thing, and I was probably being a bad friend by inflicting a mid-season check-in on you, and I feel like I should have just been like, hey, I should listen to my friend's body language that maybe he doesn't want to go into the Cordyceps apocalypse. But you watched it all anyway. You did it.
I watched
through four.
I got caught up. I have to say, well, especially like I podcast so much with Mike, and Mike really was raving about the third episode of the Last of Us a long, long time. And, you know, Mike talked about how it was.
He was raving for a long, long time.
He was raving for a long, long time. Said it was like the best episode of television that he's seen. And so I did want to catch up and watch that. And I could say that I, too, very much enjoyed episode three of The Last of Us. I thought that was really, really great. I loved it. You know, it has stayed with me. It has been, you know, something I've been, you know, thinking about since I watched it. And so really just a great job by.
It was nice to see a Murray Bartlett who somehow was like less
I
troubled in
realize,
the apocalypse than he was in.
Didn't
the
even
hotel,
know it was him until like towards the end of that's Armand. Murray Bartlett and Nick Offerman, who's always great. And so I really, really loved that episode.
Yeah, I think that it is the episode that I have yet to see somebody in like my circle anyway who had that episode hyped up for them and then didn't also feel like, no, it was worth hyping up. That hasn't happened yet. I do think that this is going to be the episode that if The Last of Us has a better episode than that, then wow, that's going to be impressive. It's almost a little daunting that like if Lost trotted out The Constant with their third episode. Like how do you go past that? How do you get higher than this? And I think episode four probably was like it was a really fun episode of the show in a lot of ways, and it's cool to see Joel and Ellie together finally, and like the joke book is fun, but it's sort of a tough act to follow.
I really loved episode three. I felt like it was almost like a Twilight Zone, like you know, standalone episode, which I really enjoyed. And then, you know, episode four, you know, we're back to the regular show.
Right. There's been some fun discourse on the internet of like Nick Offerman as Bill spends like two decades taking pristine care of his truck. Joel mm-hmm. has it for 5 minutes and crashes it immediately. Mm-hmm. So I feel like some of like the fallout of this episode and how it gets played, like Bill and Frank's stuff gets to go along the journey with Joel and Ellie. And like you leave episode three and that's kind of a nice thing that their legacy lives on, not their Subaru legacy. I don't know what kind of truck they're driving, but their truck gets crashed in episode four, and Joel and Ellie lose all of their things. So it's kind of sad. I guess we're not defined by our things, right? Is that the lesson here?
Yeah, was that is that what we're supposed to take away from
it? I don't know.
So, I mean, they stopped in Kansas City. Kansas City's really gone to hell. I don't know if that's a bad omen for Sunday.
Yeah, so Kansas City's in the Super Bowl, is that right?
Yeah.
And did you see that The Last of Us is not competing with the Super Bowl, Rob? That people may not know this, but The Last of Us, which normally airs on Sundays, on Sunday nights on HBO in that prestigious spot, while it will be there on Sunday nights, it will also be coming your way earlier on Friday night on HBO and HBO Max to avoid the Super Bowl.
On HBO proper.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. At the very least, it'll be on HBO On Demand and HBO Max. It might just be that.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting of a time slot to put that on. I guess that, you know, HBO does program Friday nights. That's where, like, Nathan or the rehearsal, I feel like, was on Friday nights.
Yeah.
You know, they have, like, you know, Bill Maher and, like, so they do have, like, programming that you
they've
know goes on
to Mondays too. HBO, I think that they just don't want to like go up against the Super Bowl is, and also there's this you know, compelling story that's been happening in the meta of The Last of Us, where every episode has been building on the audience. Every episode is the new highest viewed episode. I think it's up to 7.5 million viewers for episode four at this point, so it's a show that's growing. That stat's gonna get is side tackled. I don't know. It's gonna help
side tackle.
It's gonna get footballed on Sunday night if it goes up against the
sacked.
Super Bowl.
How about
sacked,
that?
Sacked. Yeah. Too bad your ass got sacked. Yes, that. Yeah. So I think they wanna
Friday night was a choice though. I wonder if like what went into, you know, Friday night versus Monday night.
Yeah, I think maybe Monday night would have made sense, but maybe it's like they don't
Valentine's Day Eve.
Ooh, yeah. Well, they should have waited for episode three for Valentine's Day Eve, I feel like, was the unless there's a more romantic episode of The Last of Us coming up.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
No, Monday Night Football. It feels like that Monday night would have, but I don't know. But I don't know if HBO has like a Monday night show that they would have, that would have been preempting.
You know what I think is really funny and shady is that The Last of Us is doing everything that they can to accommodate the Super Bowl viewers to get out of the way. But they were like, nah, but we could beat the Grammys. We can go up against the Grammys and it's not going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. They're also, the finale is going to air against the Oscars, Rob.
Yeah. Josh, if they're getting 7 million viewers, I think that's probably more than the Grammys and then probably more than the Oscars too.
Yeah, what was the Oscar viewers for, let's say, for 2022? How many people tuned in live? 15.36 million Americans watched the Academy Awards.
Okay, so 12 million viewers for the Grammys. So,
okay,
so right. The Grammys still did more.
Yeah, but it's still kind of embarrassing, right? Because you have to pay to get the HBO separately and all of that. It's your zombie mushroom show is doing that much damage against your award show. I feel like if I'm the award show, I feel kind of bad about that. So Super Bowl would obliterate The Last of Us. So I understand maybe trying to get out of the shadow of that. So general vibes though, episode three was really good. How are you feeling about like the universe of The Last of Us? Are you connecting with it otherwise?
No.
There haven't been a crazy amount of monsters at least.
Yeah, I don't care.
Episode two was tough.
Yeah, episode two was tough. A lot of monsters. Yeah. But there's a lot of like just like, you know, driving around and shooting. So, you know, I don't necessarily love all of that, you know. Joel and the girl
Ellie
are fine.
Yeah.
Although I saw a picture the other day that said here's Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey, and they're the same age as Leonardo DiCaprio and his girlfriend.
I saw that too, and I showed that to Emily Fox, and we were both pretty upset. We were upset. It was upsetting. It was an upsetting thing, for sure. Yeah. It was a very upsetting moment.
Because Leo's girlfriend, I don't think was born when the last day of Earth happened. Yeah.
No, I don't think she was alive quite yet. I think that she's a cordyceps baby.
Is that like a Nepo baby? Yeah.
Yeah, you got grandfathered into the mushroom apocalypse. Mm-hmm. No one wants to get grandfathered into the mushroom apocalypse.
I mean, yeah, she's getting grandfathered in by Leo, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's horrible. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I think so. What's interesting to me is that episode 4 of The Last of Us is like the real Joel and Ellie show. And that's sort of what the pitch of the show is it's, you know, big Mandalorian energy. It is the grizzled warrior and the young charge, and they're going on an adventure together. And yet, I think that this is probably the episode that most people look at as like, I think the weakest of the four would be my guess. It would be like this or episode 2 would be my thinking. I still think that it's all been like highly enjoyable and entertaining and, you know, scary and thoughtful and all of that good stuff. But I think if it's the one where it's the Joel and Ellie hour and that's the one that's kind of in fourth position, that's maybe not the greatest sign. You know, if you're not gripped by Joel and Ellie yet, I think that that's maybe a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, I feel like people certainly like the show. I just feel like that it's maybe not the greatest sign that the best episode and most celebrated episode of the show is the one that doesn't have them.
Was the one that just like broke away from everything? Yeah,
it was a sort of like a look. If I'm watching TV and typically it's like I'm watching a show that's supposed to have Pedro Pascal in it, and I'm getting episodes of the show that have no Pedro Pascal, I'm like, what is this? The Book of Boba Fett? Uh-huh. That doesn't always go great.
Did you end up doing Book of Boba Fett? Did we talk about this?
Sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. It didn't go great. It didn't go great.
It didn't go great, but this one did. This one did. So.
Yes, this one did. This one did indeed. Actually, and ironically enough, the Book of Boba Fett episode that didn't have Boba Fett in it was the one that had Pedro Pascal in it. It was the best episode of the season. Mm-hmm. So maybe Pedro knew. Maybe there was like a little bit of like a timeshare between the shooting of these two things. I was thinking that probably much more in your wheelhouse would be checking out Pedro Pascal on Saturday Night Live, or at the very least that since we're doing so much Last of Us coverage on Post Show, we should check in. This is a moment. This is an event. This is Pedro doing SNL. And he's like, you know, he's the Red Viper that we loved him on Game of Thrones. He's huge on The Mandalorian, but to his point, like, you don't know what he looks like. So he's just sort of a voice actor walking around. Now he's all of a sudden like mega famous again, I think, because of The Last of Us. And I thought that is the world in which Pedro Pascal was going to host SNL. There's like super famous people who've never hosted Saturday Night Live. And Pedro Pascal is like just becoming a super famous person. And I felt like the energy that he had there was really, really fun. I don't know. I have not checked out an episode of SNL in a very long time, Rob. I know you used to podcast about SNL
every
week.
Well, I used to. I have, you know, certainly like fallen off of SNL like in the last few years, where I feel like that all through my life, I feel like I was a big SNL guy. And probably like in the last like 8 to 10 years, like I've probably been more disconnected with it than I've ever been. I'm trying to think if I had watched another episode this season.
I can tell you some of the hosts.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Miles Teller episode?
No.
Brendan Gleeson.
I don't even know who that is.
That's the guy from, he's Mad-Eye Moody from Harry Potter. He's Oscar nominated for the Banshees of Inisherin. You would know him if you saw him, I think. You would certainly know the musical guest, Willow.
I can't believe they got him.
SNL so woke. Megan Thee Stallion was the host and guest on October 15th, as was Jack Harlow was the host.
Well, I did that famously. I saw that because Jeff Probst showed up.
Yeah, so you saw that. Amy Schumer hosted in November, Dave mm-hmm. Chappelle in November as well, mm-hmm. Kiki Palmer in December, mm-hmm. The Martins, Stephen Short, December 10th.
I think 10th. I might have watched that one. Yeah.
I think I saw like the inevitable Selena Gomez get on stage yes. and make fun of the olds. The beach that made them old. Austin Butler and his not yet retired Elvis voice was the host of SNL in December, no. December 17th. Aubrey
I did
Plaza.
Watch that Elvis movie. Yeah.
How'd you feel about the Elvis movie?
You know, I thought it stayed with me. I thought it was interesting, but Tom Hanks was too grotesque.
It was grotesque.
They made him too ugly.
I didn't check out the, I think I watched the first 5 minutes of the Elvis movie and I was like, I'm not in the mood for this. And I stopped mm-hmm. watching it. So I didn't yeah. get to Tom Hanks. All
I know why they made him
was,
grew from Despicable Me.
Wow, Despicable Me. Oh my gosh. I love a Despicable Me name drop. It doesn't happen often enough.
Mm-hmm.
They just went straight to the Minions and we got rid of the Despicable
He made Elvis
Me.
His minion.
Uh-huh. Sure did.
He was caught in a trap.
Uh-huh. Aubrey Plaza was
I think
the
I saw parts of that one.
Of SNL.
Yes.
They did the Black Lotus, I think, was the White
you know,
Lotus
I,
sketch.
That sounds
that they
funny.
Did.
I didn't yeah. see. I think I just ended up I saw the weekend update from that on YouTube.
Michael B. Jordan was the host.
Just tie it back to the Parks and Rec of it all.
Yeah, there was Amy Poehler came out. They did I think that they did straight well, up again, Leslie Offerman. In April. Yeah. yeah. So Michael B. Jordan in January, and now it's Pedro Pascal. So you've seen like bits, drips and drabs of mm-hmm. SNL. I cannot remember the last time I watched this on a regular basis, and I hate to be the person who's like, I don't know who any of you are, but I definitely am that person at this point with SNL right now. But yeah. I thought it was a fun episode. I actually mostly really enjoyed myself.
Yeah, I thought that there were fun sketches. I think this is also a byproduct of being on the East Coast that I feel like on the West Coast, you could catch it at 8:30. And so that there was more of a chance that I would see it on a Saturday. Now, if we ever do watch it, Nicole and I will put it on because it's inappropriate a lot of times.
Sure.
Even though there are times where my kids are like want to see it. I would say that on a Sunday night, like when there's not stuff going on, Nicole and I might, you know, put it on at like, you know, 9 o'clock. But usually and that's appointment TV, usually Sunday night.
Yeah, it's hard to compete with the Sunday night time spot. Mm-hmm. Emily and I watched it on Hulu the previous evening, and it was nice to not have commercial breaks. It was a mm-hmm. quick SNL. We were yeah. in and out, and it was like an hour-long commitment. That wasn't so bad.
Yeah, well, how do you want to talk about an episode of SNL?
Okay, so I wrote down all of the sketches. I've got everything that happened as far as like the actual what happened. And if I wrote notes about it, then that was probably a good sign mm-hmm. that there was something to talk about. And then if I had nothing to say, that was probably bad.
Bad.
So let's go through it because some people probably didn't watch it. So we'll just tell everybody what happened. So it began, the cold open was the Chinese balloon. And Bo and Yang is the Chinese balloon mm-hmm. and is complaining about having been shot down. Rob, that's the issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just feel like sometimes when they do the like cable news cold open, sometimes they just pick like a nothing burger, like yes. like host to like it's like we're just phoning it in. We're not doing an impression of the host. This is just like Katie Turr. Sure. Like it's at that point, just make it like a made up person.
This was written on the day. This was written. This was probably like when the sketch aired. It was probably like 5 hours old at most. Because I believe that it was wasn't it shot down on Saturday as yes. well.
I flew out of.
I know
the
I was gonna...
Raleigh Airport, and I didn't realize I got out just before they were shutting down our airspace.
Just in time.
With the balloon. I wish I could I have seen it from my house.
Apparently, all you had to do was look up.
What did you have? Don't look up. That's what
don't
Leo
look
says.
Up. That's
yeah.
right. Yeah. That's what Leo says to. Yeah, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Did you have any feelings about the balloon, Josh? Have you talked about the balloon?
Not really. I didn't have major feelings about the balloon. Same shit, different day and hour cordyceps apocalypse. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all terrible.
Yeah. I like the joke about the West Coast defense against balloons. The
yeah,
space
the space needle.
That
was funny. Yeah, I like that. I think I'm a sucker for you put somebody in like an oversized suit and like a very clear green screen background, and Bowen Yang as the balloon, just the sight gag was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he's very funny. I think he's really great.
Yes. He's done a lot of bits on SNL for, you know, the little bit that I've seen that I feel like that he has played like inanimate objects often. Mm-hmm. I feel like, was he a glacier that he's he's done like that? I think that's one of his characters is just like make him be an inanimate object.
Incredible. Yeah, I thought that he was really fun. So we go from that to the monologue. Pedro Pascal was wearing this amazing purple pirate shirt. This was like very Jerry
puffy
Seinfeld's
shirt?
Yeah. Puffy shirt, I felt like. Mm-hmm. Where it had, like you could. You can like feel through the TV screen what that shirt would feel like. I felt like very soothing to the touch.
I didn't pay a lot of close attention.
It was like flowy. It felt light. It seemed like the fabric was probably light. It had like kind of like a little like almost like a boat like a knot and like a tie type of feel to it. But it was all the same color purple. It was a bold pick. I couldn't rock such a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really get away with purple, although I do love my purple pants hoodie quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of that one. But he looked great, and he had he had some jokes, but I felt like his monologue was more sincere than jokey. I really did feel like Pedro Pascal was like, I can't believe I'm here. Like that was sort of the energy. Like he got choked up at one point being like, you know, talking to his family at home in Chile. And he just seems like such a nice person. That was my takeaway from a lot of this was Pedro Pascal seems great.
Seems like a nice guy. He talked about the Mandalorian in the monologue, but there was no Mandalorian sketches. Do you think that Pedro Pascal, I'm always interested in like when somebody shows up to SNL, I think that there's very much like, I'm willing to do this. I'm not willing to do this. It seems unlikely to me that the writing staff wouldn't want to do any Mandalorian Star Wars bits that do you feel like that? Okay, I will do SNL. I am not here to talk about the Mandalorian.
Pedro Pascal is not in a bargaining position, I don't think. Not quite yet. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think like Pedro Pascal is such a hot get for SNL that he gets to be like, but I'm not doing the Mandalorian. I don't think so. I love him. And I think he's great.
I'm very surprised that they wouldn't do anything Star Wars.
It would be more an HBO or a Disney
especially
call.
Especially because there's a Mandalorian season that's right around the corner.
Yeah. So I think it's like who brought him to SNL? Like if HBO is like, if he's HBO's date to Saturday Night Live, I feel like he can't cheat on HBO with Disney.
Because I don't know necessarily like what the synergy is. I'm trying to think about like how often do we see people from the, you know, Disney cinematic TV universe on a show like SNL. But I mean, we were just coming off of Aubrey Plaza hosting very recently, so I feel like that the HBO
pipeline
is strong.
Yeah, it is strong. Do you think we might get Baby Yoda hosting SNL in the future?
Well, they've done Baby
Disney's,
Yoda.
Should that be Disney's counter move
as a character? Yeah, that they've done that on SNL before.
Wasn't that Bowen Yang as well?
No, Kyle Mooney.
Oh, I miss Kyle Mooney.
Yeah,
love Kyle Mooney. I thought Kyle Mooney was great. Mm-hmm. Apparently Pedro Pascal, everybody has his phone number, and if it's you, just let us know. Postrecaps.com/AskRobinJosh. Then there was the Hollywood quiz, which was really it was like a celebrity Jeopardy type game show that was effectively like, let's just drag the fact that nothing is iconic anymore. Like nothing is memorable, nothing stands out. It's like a bunch of different history of Hollywood. They make fun of podcasting too, so you gotta love it if you're a podcaster.
Mm-hmm.
There's like one of the contestants is a podcast host, and Bowen Yang is unimpressed. And they're like, there's questions from the 70s about MASH. There's questions from the 80s, like things that are just like easily gettable. And then they're like, what's the top show on Netflix right now?
Mm-hmm.
Ginny and dot dot dot. Now you are the co-host of the venerable Nothing But Netflix podcast.
Yes, although that Ginny in Georgia is not a show that we have talked about.
Yeah, and you just don't spend enough time on the interface necessarily to learn Ginny in Georgia by osmosis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I did feel like I was playing along with this sketch.
Yes. Really, the thing that was very relatable was when they said, okay, here's all these movies that came out in 1989. Name three movies that have come out in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
I was right there with Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
Wednesday? Yeah.
Wednesday? Ginny in Georgia is on its... Another good joke there was that it was on its second season and you didn't know it. And I was like, yeah, I didn't know that either. And is it an American... It's 100% American.
It's a romantic TV drama.
Yeah. Free-spirited Georgia and her two kids, Ginny and Austin, move north in search of a fresh start, but find that the road to new beginnings can be bumpy.
Oh, it's like Last of Us.
Yeah, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel bad for Austin, if I'm being honest with you, that Austin is not part of the title. It's Georgia and her two kids, Ginny and Austin. Why isn't it called Ginny and Georgia and Austin? Is that a spoiler? Does something happen?
I don't know, but it seems like that the streaming shows unless they totally break out, it seems like that they don't exist.
Yeah, pretty much. It got into some of the Oscar controversy with Andrea Riseborough in To Leslie. Are you hip?
Was controversy?
Yeah, are you hip to the Andrea Riseborough controversy?
Josh, I didn't even never even heard the name Andrea uh-huh. Riseborough before yeah. This. What's the controversy?
So the Andrea Riseborough controversy.
Is it not fun to talk about? Because then
no.
We can just move on. Yeah.
No, it's fine. I think it's fine. I think it's fine to talk about. So Andrea Riseborough is the star of a rather largely unseen movie, a low budget indie film called To Leslie, which was filmed, I believe, in the Albuquerque area with a lot of the people from the at least a few people from the Better Call Saul Breaking Bad universe mm-hmm. as part of the crew. And apparently she's excellent in it, according to all of the actors in Hollywood who went out and stumped very hard for Andrea Riseborough. That she is worthy of an Oscar nomination, but because the movie made the movie made no money and there was no awards budget in it, so it wasn't getting into the four-year consideration screenings and that circuit and everything, and there was this out of nowhere left field push to get Andrea Riseborough an Oscar nomination, and she ends up getting Oscar nominated, and it's such a surprise that the Academy Awards have launched an investigation into how this could have been possible.
They think it's foul play that she got a nomination?
I think effectively they think it's foul play that she got a nomination. There's something 9,000 voters, 9,500 voting members of the Academy thereabouts, and she is able to get in with that number. And so I think the Academy thinks it's sus. And then there's a lot of people in contrast to that being the whole thing is broke. What are we doing targeting Andrea Riseborough about this? But a few people who should have probably been in the conversation for an Oscar nomination, like Viola Davis for The Woman King, Danielle Deadwyler for Till, especially that two black women who were really prominently thought of as Oscar front runners this year, were not nominated. And Andrea Riseborough gets there out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of hullabaloo about this. And so
oh my God.
It ends up making it onto Saturday Night Live this week. So cheers to Leslie. Should we watch To Leslie for the podcast?
Probably not.
I think it's grim. I think it's pretty dark.
Yeah.
The premise is not so great. So after the Hollywood quiz, the big one was the Mario Kart.
Yes, I had seen that before I even watched the show.
Same. So this would not have even come slightly close to being on my list of things that I would expect from Pedro Pascal on Saturday Night Live. It's you expect there's going to be a Last of Us sketch, but that they're going to do one Last of Us sketch and it's Last of Us, but make it Mario Kart. This was not something that I would have considered SNL going in that direction.
Yeah, so The Last of Us based on a video game, and so they ultimately made another like sketch about like, okay, here's another show that's a video game that we're gonna turn dark. But to go to Mario Kart,
yeah,
to me, it just felt like that. I mean, there literally is a Super Mario movie coming out. I just felt like that they could have gone with something that was a more obscure video game.
Right.
Well, what did you think?
Well, I do think that the link between The Last of Us and the Mario franchise indeed is the Mushroom Kingdom, right? It is right. There's mushrooms everywhere, so it does make sense. And certainly a Mario property getting like something resembling like a grimy live action treatment is not unheard of.
Yeah.
Based upon the time you, me, and Akiva talked about the mm-hmm. Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo Mario movie.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that Bowser looked like right out of that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Keenan as Bowser, Yoshi and Toad coming out as bisexual in this. Toad explodes. Toad dies because he's getting red shelled, and Pedro Pascal as Mario is like, you could avoid it, and Toad says, no, it's a red shell, bro. And this mm-hmm. was the only I thought that the sketch had a lot of fidelity to the Mario Kart universe, but this was one where it missed me. He could have just like idled,
unlike the red shell.
Yeah, he could have idled like one of his, like if he had to have like a banana or a green shell or something, you can like idle it in the back of the cart and time it to drop it when the red
shell. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, you could do moves. If it was a blue shell, he's dead. If he's in first place, he doesn't have a choice. And yeah. Even I think if he gets out of first place, if he was in first place when the blue shell was launched, it's over with.
Mm-hmm.
We're big fans of the Mario Kart here in the post-show recaps sure. universe. You know what I had never realized
Everywhere.
Before,
yeah.
but I learned in the sketch was that I never realized that Goombas were just giant walking mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. What do you think they were?
I just thought they were Goombas. I never thought twice about it. I never looked at them and realized that they were mushroom shaped. I think I was so distracted by like the angry face and their strange little feet. That it never occurred to me that their head is the...
Well, it is a Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah, and it never connected for me, ever.
The
ever
thing
in
that
my life.
I never thought about was that they have shoes for legs.
They do.
I never heard it described that way. I just thought they had, like, those were their feet. But yeah. No, actually, that they are... they're actually their legs, not their feet.
Yeah. I had fun with it. I thought it was good. I thought it was pretty well written. But I was surprised that that was all of The Last of Us content.
Because
then we go from that to like this very weird hospital sketch where Pedro Pascal was in an accident in Arkansas and he now speaks like this. It is from LA. Let's put a pin in that. The whole thing is just like everyone doing voices like that. And this is one of the first, I think this is the first time. First of a few times that Pedro Pascal breaks. He's a breaker, Rob. He's a breaker. There's a couple of Pedro Pascal breaks over the course of this SNL.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's frowned upon for the cast to break, even though I think like back in the day, they used to like do it on purpose.
Yeah. I felt like today in the steakhouse sketch, I felt like that felt like that was on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it's like, hey, if this isn't working, you just go for it. I actually did like that steakhouse sketch. But I didn't really get this. Is this a voice that a lot of people are doing?
I don't know. It was very weird.
I haven't encountered anybody that talks like that.
Never. I never myself encountered that either. But I laughed. I thought Pedro Pascal was having a hard time doing it, and so I laughed. Mm-hmm. That was probably of the ones so far. That was probably in last place. The high school assembly comes next, and this is where Pedro Pascal is playing Mr. Ben, and everyone in the auditorium loves Mr. Ben.
They're making
fan cams of Mr. Ben. They tell him that his foot is always on their necks. They call him, I forget what kind of a king they call him. All sorts of stuff that Phil T could teach me, I feel like.
Sure, yeah.
Were you speaking the language? I feel like you're hipper to this stuff than I am.
Yeah, I think I had heard all those things before, except for fan cam. I had not heard that terminology before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know about the fan cam?
No. I guess so. That's like they make a video, they shoot videos of you, and they put you in like funny backgrounds and make you look cute and stuff like that. Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I want to be out here saying make a fan cam of me. Actually,
no,
I think that's probably not what I want to say.
Yeah.
But I did say it earlier.
Yeah.
I liked someone telling him like, Mr. Ben, don't be upset because you're in your assembly era. I liked that, his assembly era. Mm-hmm. Then Sarah Paulson is mysteriously here. She just shows up for some reason as Miss Jenny. And yeah. I did not know what her affiliation with any of this was, but here she is.
Here she is, the romantic interest of the teacher,
I guess. And so then they're the king and queen of the school. They unban fan cams. Did you like the fan cam sketch?
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about what I have for it as well.
Yeah. I didn't really have commentary on it.
I'm on the beach that makes me old. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have anything for it.
I won't be making any fan cams anytime soon.
I do feel like some like fan cams in the extended RHAP ecosystem has probably happened, would be my guess.
No doubt. And I think that probably many of our friends have even have been making them.
Probably.
But, you know, for me, like, I think there's too much standing. And then there's the opposite of standing, which also happens too much.
Sure. Then we have the Super Bowl commercial, and the Super Bowl commercial is like a commercial for Wing Pit. Where a party.
Do you have Super Bowl plans?
I don't. I've been trying to see if my friends are doing anything, and it doesn't seem like they are unless I'm just being.
You have like a local
out.
Crew that you do. Spend the Super Bowl with.
Yeah, I have a local crew, and I don't think that we're I think we're maybe getting to the age where like the local crew isn't doing the Super Bowl anymore. So I don't know. Are you doing anything big for the Super Bowl? Are you getting inundated with a thousand chicken wings?
No, we're having a few people over, but you know, I'm getting like. I really like one of my favorite things to do is like, you know, like spend some, you know, time on Sunday and figure out, okay, what are we doing? What are we going to make? And yep. I was having a frustrating conversation with my wife over. Yeah. Like I'm trying to get
over
from
Super Bowl
from the
food.
Whole over the whole crew, like kids, Nicole, what do you all want? Like, let me know what you want. And then, so it's like, I want this. Well, I want this. I want this. I'm like, all right, well, then this is now too much. This is too much food.
It's too much food.
It's too much food. And then it's like, well, you asked us what we wanted. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
yeah.
I'm like, are you really going to, you're going to eat shrimp cocktail and the chicken wing and burgers and the sandwich, like, and pizza, like
70% of that at least is not going to be consumed.
Yeah, right. So I like don't like wasting.
Are you making executive decisions? Do you have a plan or are you workshopping the plan?
No, well, somebody's going to be mad.
Yeah, someone's going to be mad.
So I'll probably just make everything and then at the end say, see, we didn't need all this.
Yeah, but then what if they're like, but it's not what we wanted. It then becomes that you're the one who gets mad.
Oh, of course. And then they'll be like, no, we're gonna eat it tomorrow. And then cut to 7 days later when I'm throwing it all out.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I didn't know that was still in there. Yeah, it was.
I do feel like this commercial, this sketch where they're just like getting like cement mixers, like bursting through their windows and just launching chicken wings into their house did feel real to the spirit of like a not humongous Super Bowl party, like the size of the room. Like this is the type of thing that happens. I feel like is you just get so much more than you thought you should have gotten. And it's just wasteful. And you said it got dark. I think it did. And I think it often does. I think it gets dark here around the Super Bowl.
It started off pretty good. I'm like, this is a pretty good deal.
Yeah. You know, look, it definitely put me in the mood for chicken wings initially. And then by the end of it, it's like, I don't know that I want to look at that anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I want to. But now I'm thinking about it today. And like, maybe because I haven't eaten yet, I would do it. I would eat a bunch of chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
Coldplay sings next. You big Coldplay guy?
I skipped it.
I skipped it. So let me tell you, the one thing that you missed was at one point Chris Martin's on stage and he's just doing the "I'm Chris Martin, yeah," and just sort of like singing a little bit.
Yeah, and they're still making the new music, Coldplay.
You know what? In my heart, they're not. In my heart, you know, in my like old millennial heart, they stopped after a rush of blood to the head, and it didn't go on any further than that. But I guess that they've continued doing things, and I really don't care for it, and I don't really respect it, and I do appreciate that. It seems like Christopher Martin seems like a kind of Is it Chris?
I always hear Chris, but
Chris Martin. You know, he's the kind of guy that seems like he's just out here trying to make people smile and happy in an otherwise dark world. And I don't think that I've ever resented somebody so optimistic in my life. But he's up there and he's just trying to be very
consciously uncoupled.
Yeah, I have. And he's just up there being positive and singing his silly songs. And then out of nowhere, a guy saddles up next to him wearing a Cyclops alien mask.
And just starts sort of like watching the Grammys.
It just starts like shimmying next to Chris Martin as Chris Martin is singing, just like as if nothing weird has happened. And a man who, like, it looks like this is somebody who's famous from The Masked Singer has shown up. And I have no idea what's going on. And then like a bunch more like aliens and people like dressed up in like sort of like bright light sci-fi garb start showing up and everybody's
maybe this was the Mandalorian sketch.
It could have been. It might have been. It would have been better if somebody showed up with a Baby Yoda hat on for sure. But anyway, then the Coldplay does it again later on, and I have no additional notes about the Coldplay appearance here. Coldplay sings. They probably you know, people who like Coldplay were happy.
You have a song called Aliens.
Was this Aliens? Was that what it's called?
Yeah, that's from 2017.
No way. It's Coldplay. What did they sing? Coldplay Will Go Down in History was one of the lines. Will Go Down in History. What's the name of the song? The song is called Everyday Life, I guess, maybe. I don't know what it was. Someone who watches Coldplay or listens to Coldplay anymore will know. I don't mean to yuck your yum.
We're not yucking their yum.
You ever see Coldplay? Did you ever go to a Coldplay show, Rob?
No.
Yeah. Weekend update happens. I didn't have a lot on Weekend Update. Did you have are you a big Weekend Update guy?
I am. It's still probably my favorite part of the show. You know, I thought that there were some good jokes, and then the groundhog bit hit a little close to home.
This was a little, there was a groundhog who was celebrating Groundhog Day and was venting about Groundhog Day and the plight of the groundhog. I did think of you and Akiva.
Relatable.
And Eric.
Yeah.
Yes. There's one news update that I thought was funny. They made fun of they said that genetic engineering is bringing the dodo bird back to life, featured only at Arby's, which I thought was kind of dark.
We have the dodo,
but Arby's isn't, I don't need to get into it. Then there
Was, you think that Arby's is disparaged?
I don't think that. I didn't think
the
it was totally
too far.
I didn't think it was totally fair to Arby's, but I don't want to be out here defending Arby's.
Yeah, John Stewart did a lot of damage to the Arby's brand.
Yeah, they've had a hard time, but that's fine. There was a bunch of British rappers at the end of it, and punchline kept being "I'm allergic to dairy."
Yeah,
which
I thought it was pants. Yeah.
I don't know why I liked it so much, but maybe it was because of the the little like swiping
little
knives,
that they
do. Yeah, the tiny little knives. I thought was pretty funny. I was pretty punch drunk at the end of the night. This is getting pretty close to the end, so I thought it was pretty fun. Then there's one where Pedro Pascal is somebody's mom. This kind of reminded me of like a bad version of Adam Sandler's Mama.
Yeah.
Surprised
they did this.
Yeah, me too. So I have no notes there.
I kind of thought that SNL was I feel like that for years. It's like, okay, like just put a guy in a dress. That's you know, and I feel like that. I thought that, like, famously, I thought they stopped doing that.
This didn't feel like it. Feel like it was it.
Like, is this 2023 or 2003? Maybe this was Last of Us.
This
was
Joel,
like from
circa his 36th
birthday.
Yeah,
this was Joel. This was the last SNL that was on before the apocalypse.
I think that sounds correct.
In 2003.
Uh huh. We go to we have the first of two restaurant sketches, and the restaurant sketches are back to back. They're the final two sketches of the night. One is
sometimes they move stuff around after dress,
I guess. Angelina restaurant, where the whole joke is that everybody at the table, it's a bunch of women at the table, and Pedro Pascal is the maitre d', and he's giving them all these big compliments. And then this one woman he just keeps dunking on. He says, "You're smart," but like it's passive aggressive. It's like backhanded compliment stuff. Mm-hmm. They like imply that she's like a troll who drives around on a Harley Davidson just eating bowls of chili by the handful. She mm-hmm. protests this, but then the final shot is her going off on a Harley Davidson eating mm-hmm. a bowl of chili like a monster.
Yeah. So I like the second restaurant sketch a lot more.
Yes, I did as well. The second restaurant sketch was making the rounds on Bronze Jan's internet. It was the steakhouse where I believe it's Ego Wodim, who I don't know, but I need to find out more about her because she's hysterical.
Yeah,
I thought she was amazing. Where gets her steak, she orders it extra, extra well, and she ends up like having to like saw through the steak in order to cut it. And the entire table is shaking like nobody's business, and everything is getting everywhere, and none of the actors are able to hold it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think that they were doing to make the table move?
Was there somebody like under the floor, you think?
I think there were people like rocking the table underneath.
Yeah, I think there's got to be like somebody like under the table that's just like waving it around. Is probably the way that it would have had to go.
Yeah.
And it's a disaster.
How do you take your steak?
Not like that.
Yeah.
Not like that. I'm like a medium rare guy, I guess.
Rare. Yeah,
I can't really do the steaks too much anymore. It's bad for my gout. So I stay away from the beef these days. Mm-hmm. But back in the day, I really liked the line. I don't know why I have this written down in my notes, but she says at one point when her friend is trying to like hype her up and defend her, and she's just like throwing all of these like sort of asides into the defense, she says, "Cook my meat." And I thought that was great. Mm-hmm. That was my favorite line of the sketch. But this I had seen on Twitter, had been making the rounds. So I felt like I'd already seen this one. Mm-hmm. But everyone's laughing. I think like everyone's like super loopy at the end of the night. And they're like, I don't know. I can't keep this together anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends. That's the end of the show. Pedro Pascal says it was the best night of his life. Best night of his life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, okay.
Hyperbolic, or do you think he meant it?
I bet it's very fun to, you know, host SNL. Like, there's probably nothing like it. You're in every sketch. Like, people are just moving you around. They put you in a room. They're putting a different costume on you. Like, go over here, read these cue cards. Like, I'm sure it is an experience unlike, you know, when you are filming, like, a TV show, like a single camera, you know, show or a movie. It's a lot of, like, okay, you're doing the same thing, like, a million times, like say the same line and then do the coverage and now do the same thing from this angle. And this is like the antithesis of that.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it was a very fun night.
And I do think that, like, again, I feel
like once in a lifetime experience.
Yeah. And I feel like it was like the once in a lifetime experience that he, you know, he was up there, like, I think really soaking in the moment of like, I can't believe this has happened. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, even all of the jokes of like, who are these people aside, Saturday Night Live is an institution. To the point of the Hollywood quiz, even if you couldn't tell me who these people are anymore compared to like who was on SNL in the 70s and 80s and whatever, I think that like being on SNL's got to be like, that's like a real, you know, notch in your belt when you're someone like Pedro Pascal. So I'm sure it was a blast. I'm sure he had a great time. So that's SNL. I've got some headlines for you if you want to go through a few headlines.
We can do a couple.
Yeah, we've got a few. We don't have to go through a ton. There's just a lot of streaming stuff that's happened since last we spoke. We can go through it quickly. Paramount Plus with Showtime. Have you heard about this? Paramount Plus and Showtime are merging, and the name is Paramount Plus with Showtime.
Wow.
It's Paramount Plus with Showtime.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe they don't know any creative people that could help them with coming up with a good name.
What would you do if you could combine Paramount Plus and Showtime? Does anything come together for you super easily? I think I've got one.
Ready? What is it? Yeah.
Paramount Plus. And then you don't have to say with Showtime. I think you just have one of them swallows the other, and probably it's Paramount Plus.
Mm-hmm. Now with Showtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's nothing. I don't think that Paramount Plus and Showtime don't really go together. I think you bake Showtime into Paramount Plus, but I don't think you can call it Paramount Plus with Showtime.
I got it. Yeah. Okay. Paramount Plus Plus.
Paramount double plus.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an A plus plus.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how you know that you're the king of the streaming arena.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. P plus plus.
Paramount plus plus.
Triple P.
Like, oh,
yeah.
What's the extra plus for? Well,
you got Showtime.
Showtime.
You've got Showtime. Showtime.
Paramount plus plus, did you say?
Showtime is making some moves. Did you see that?
Nicole Kidman.
There are some major things that are happening in the Showtime universe under new executive Chris McCarthy. The soon to be named Paramount Plus on Showtime has also picked up a political thriller with George Clooney is coming to Paramount Plus and Showtime. But the bigger deal is that they are expanding the franchises of Dexter and Billions.
Yeah, that's
Rob,
what we need. Yeah,
that Dexter, they're doing a Dexter prequel. Were you a big Dexter guy?
I was a medium Dexter guy, at a point.
Yes. So they're doing the young Sheldon for Dexter. They're gonna young Sheldon Dexter, and then they're making four different shows set within the Billions universe.
Well, I'm conflicted because I'm a fan of the real life Steve Cohen, but
four.
Yeah.
Four Billions shows. Trillions and
it sounds like 4 billion
them.
Shows, yeah.
Trillions. Trillions is gonna be a show. No idea what that's all about. Some other streaming stuff. Peacock is removing their free tier. It's gonna be paid plans only on Peacock. Do you think Peacock is ready for that? Wasn't like Peacock's whole thing that like you can watch us for free?
Is the streamer that I worry about the most. Josh.
I stay up at night thinking about them.
Like I wonder if every day, like they renewed Traitors season two, and I'm like, boy, I hope Peacock is around to see it.
I think like Peacock is like, okay, well, we got Traitors. People are liking Poker Face. Is that?
I don't want to be dark. I don't know what's going to be the first streamer to die. And
we
got to
think about
like,
it because it's inevitable. You know,
yeah.
Death is a part of life.
Yeah, it happened to Quibi. You know, it can happen. It happened to CNN Plus.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, and then what happens?
Well, I guess the good news there is that like it happened already. So like, you know, it's not like a Peacock would be the first, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Peacock removing the free tier. I felt like that was a big draw. I don't know that the Traitors and Poker Face are enough. To like be like, hey, you got to pay for this now. They're you know, Bel Air is great. Is that enough to make it to remove the free tier? They've got Mrs. Davis coming up, which I know you're very excited about. Mrs. Davis
mm-hmm.
coming up,
sure.
So I don't know if that's quite enough. They've got the Yellowstone streaming rights, so maybe they feel like
they
can
do
that.
I thought that was Paramount Plus.
No, it's a big whole thing, and in fact, that leads us nicely into this bit of news. Did you hear that Yellowstone might be ending, Rob? The biggest show on TV.
Costner doesn't want to do it anymore.
Kevin Costner doesn't want to do it anymore. It appears that Kevin Costner has been fighting with Paramount, saying I only want to film 1 week of Yellowstone, the second half of season 5. He just wants 1 week, and so his demands are making it very difficult for Yellowstone to get made, and Paramount is considering destroying Yellowstone and continuing the franchise in other iterations, and it actually does make some sense for them to do this because the streaming rights for Yellowstone are very complicated. Paramount Plus does not have the streaming rights and probably never will to Yellowstone because they were signed away to Peacock once upon a time before mm-hmm. Paramount Plus was even really a thing. So Peacock gets the Yellowstone streaming rights. Paramount Plus does not. Kevin Costner doesn't want to do Yellowstone anymore. So Paramount's incentivized to say, all right, fine, we'll end Yellowstone and we'll just do like, we'll take all the characters
we've already
from Yellowstone
made the brand.
And
right.
We'll make new shows. We've got it. We don't need Kevin Costner anymore. So I think Kevin Costner might be playing himself.
Played himself.
Yes.
Yep.
I think that's possible. How about Netflix? Is Netflix playing itself with these sign-in changes, which I'm sure that you you and Chappelle have
discussed? No, we really haven't talked about that too much. And people are very upset about that.
So the sign-in change seems to be the password sharing crackdown is that like every 30 days you have to sign into your home network, otherwise you get booted. But then people rebelled on the internet and Netflix said, no, that was the intern wrote that. That's not real. That's not been implemented in the United States. So this password changing thing that's been making the rounds apparently isn't actually happening, Rob. But people were upset. People were not thrilled to hear about the,
I feel like
this is Netflix's thing. Like, this is not a thing to get away. Like, sharing the password is like part of the product.
Part of the thing. See, I don't share my password with anybody, but I was at, recently visiting my family. And then, like my mom was saying about how she's like, well, you know, she was like, set up my Fire Stick and I did it. And she was like, yeah. Oh, like, I'm like, well, mom, well, you got to sign into Netflix. She's like, yeah, you know, I'm on your brother's account, but he has my Apple Plus. And so I guess that this is like a thing that families do. I don't I'm just the only sucker out here paying for all these streaming services.
Do you have different accounts for the different members of your family on
profiles,
Netflix?
Profiles, but yes, you know, profiles, I'm not paying multiple accounts. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a profile for my mom. I got a profile for Emily's family too. Mm-hmm. But I don't really share the password, but some people do. Some people do. You know, people really like that. And so, but also like the idea of you have to sign into your home network every 30 days.
That sounds annoying. I'm going to be furious if I have to sign in again.
It's like I don't remember.
It's me. You know me.
You know, like, I feel like, I don't know what, like, you know, assorted stuff is in there. And I think that also, like, what about the people who are traveling? People who are, you know, there's like, you know, the world is mobile now, Rob. Yeah. You might not be with your home network.
They must be
days.
Making too much money because they dropped it very quickly. If it was actually an issue, they would be like, no, we really need you to do this. But the fact that they were like, no. Okay. All right. Let's just everybody forget we said anything. They must be doing really well.
Netflix is having a hard time in the press right now between the password sharing and then also everything that's going on with the Squid Game reality show. Are you paying attention?
What happened with the Squid Game reality
show? The Squid Game reality show apparently is a disaster. The contestants
died.
I think I don't know that they died. But I think that they've had a very difficult time in a way that was not explicitly clear to them, that the conditions are apparently like arctically cold, that they've been left freezing in cavernous airplane hangars. The onset medics have been called repeatedly to a scene that one contestant described as a war zone playing out in frigid temperatures.
You
this
can't
according
show
to
up
a,
for Squid Game and
a variety
complain.
Deep dive.
You showed up for the Squid Game. You watched the show where people showed up and they killed them, and then you showed up and like, oh, I didn't know it was gonna be like this. I didn't know this Squid Game was like, showed up for Squid Game.
Who could have
idiot.
Guessed that this whole thing was a bad idea?
Moron. I didn't know that they were going to treat us poorly. It's just 456 of us, and I thought we were all going to be treated well.
Who could have known? Who could have known that it would have been a bad idea? Anyway, that's what's kind of happening with the streamer. Some of those HBO shows that got pulled have indeed been rescued by like the Roku channel and Tubi. These ad-supported networks for now. Yeah. So you can now watch Westworld season 4 again, but you got to watch it with commercials.
I don't even know how they did that because there weren't even commercials in the first one.
I don't know. I think that I should check one out just to see like where, like, is it going to be in the middle of like an Anthony Hopkins monologue? We just like get an ad for Caesars, Little Caesars. Kind of sounds great. Maybe that would finally convince me to do Little
Pizza
Caesars.
Pizza.
Yeah, pizza, pizza. More headlines, but that's basically it. We've got a lot that I'm sure that we're going to get into next week with the mailbag. People can send in their feedback that way to postshowrecaps.com/askRobAndJosh. postshowrecaps.com/AskRobinJosh. If you've got any headlines you want us to talk about, you can submit those. If you've got any questions about TV and movies that Rob and I have covered together, we've got those. We could do that as well. Anything that you want us to get into in the TV and movie space, we will get into. postshowrecaps.com/AskRobinJosh. Rob, what else is going on? How's MILF Manor? Give me the full rundown.
No, we just watched one episode of MILF Manor.
No more.
Yeah, that was just one and done.
Okay.
And so a one night stand with the MILFs.
The MILF Manor.
And then we also, you know, Groundhog Week, Survivor 44. I talked about Australian Survivor with Shannon Gus this week.
How's Australian Survivor been?
It's good. It's building. You know, it's a fans versus favorite. Well, it's heroes versus villains is the theme, but it's also like fans versus favorites in that there's like eight all-stars, and you know how Australian Survivor does it, where it is a true Squid Game in that there's like well, first, there's 456 people. You're
right,
gonna get to know about eight or nine of the players, and everybody else is a bunch of red shirts that are gonna don't worry about them, they died. It's not important. Who cares? So that's how they do it, which is I don't mind.
Yeah. Is it true on Survivor 44, by the way, there's a contestant named Josh Wiggler? Is that a thing? Is there some this is broken?
I talked about this. I felt like that they might have really been trying to troll
am
you.
I
don't know. You might have done something to irk them. because there is both a Carolyn Weiger, not Tyler Weiger. There's a Carolyn Weiger, and there's a Josh Wilder.
It's so close.
There's a Weiger, and there's a Weiger, and there's literally a Josh Wilder.
What did I do wrong?
I don't know. You would like, feel like they're just trying to like, for some reason, they're trying to like get you mad.
I don't know. Well, I wish everybody involved the best.
You thought you were going to ignore us? What if you see your name?
I'll tell you what, that broke through my filters.
Filters. It's like, we found the guy, Rob Sestergino.
Yeah.
Let's put him on the show.
I hope they're great. And I hope they do really well. All right, so lots of fun stuff happening in the Survivor universe with Rob. Tons of fun stuff happening here on Post Show Recaps in addition to The Last of Us coverage, which we've got so much Last of Us coverage going on. Returning to Netflix this week, and LaTanya and Marissa, they are covering it. They will have a recap of the season premiere of the final season, part one, this week, and then next week they will have binged the whole thing, and they'll be talking about it there. Plenty of other shows are happening. Dear Edward on Apple TV Plus, Jason and Marissa are covering. Extraordinary on Hulu, Sasha and Jason are taking that down. That's a superhero comedy that people are really enjoying. So check all of that out. Rob, we will be back next week with our mailbag. Anything else?
No, that's all I have, but this is fun.
This is a great time. All right, folks, we'll be back to answer your TV and movie questions next week. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.